When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Celtic Stuff Live.
Welcome to Celtic Stuff Live on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics, the Kyrie-less, and as of about 10 minutes ago, John, at the time we're recording this, the Al Horford-less Boston Celtics. Now, a lot of elation with Kemba Walker coming to town, and early on Saturday, I kind of said, well, wait a second. Couldn't we do a sign and trade with like Rozier? And none of that had really come out yet. And I got really excited for Al Horford potentially re-signing with the Celtics. But turns out he wants a fresh start. Got a big payday, $109 million over 4 years. Something that the Celtics definitely could have paid Al. So we'll talk a little bit about, you know, was it that the Celtics didn't want to pay him, or was it that Al wanted a truly fresh start? It seems like this happened pretty quickly after a bunch of tweets went out saying it was going to take a couple of days before Al made his decision. But this is pretty much done deal and pretty strong. So now we'll have to just wait and see what the details are on the sign and trade. I know we're going to have the mid-level exception that we'll be able to use, and there also maybe a trade exception that we've seen in some scenarios, depending on how they work this all out. Celtics will take their time. Obviously, front court help is going to be a big need. Robert Williams, although extremely talented, still very young, John.
After all that, we're going to Robert Williams. I think that's hilarious. It's like, you know, we've got Kyrie Irving,
our way
we've got
right Al Horford,
and you're like, let's talk about Robert Williams. No, they are thin. You're right. It's really disappointing. I think, you know, like you, you and I were kind of texting back and forth as you were, you know, going nuts, I guess, on Twitter, and like, it can work, it can happen. And I'm like, I don't think so. And then of course, you know, the stuff is coming out later today, obviously, that after Woj said that, you know, this is going to happen, Kemba's going to sign 140. We know it, 4 years. Great. Wonderful. And then Keith Smith and a few others, you know, Kevin O'Connor was saying that there was some rumor that the Celtics were the secret team that was interested in Al Horford. And so things seemed to pick up a bit, but then cold water from Steve Bulpet, cold water from a couple other sources. And then, of course, the big bomb got dropped when Philly, you know, it got announced was Philly. You know, we can talk a bit about how,
which was real quick, not long after Tobias Harris. And when I saw the Tobias Harris, ironically, I'm in New York City, but when all this was happening, I was driving to not far from Brooklyn, just so you know, I'm right around here. No Kevin Durant sightings though. But I will tell you, you know, I'm on my way here and the Tobias Harris thing breaks and I'm thinking, oh, great. They're going to use up all that cap space and they're not going to be able to sign Horford. That's kind of what I was hoping for, but clearly I was wrong. And I had no idea what Philly's cap space deal was, but I know they lost JJ Redick. So I was like, haha, they're slipping back. And then you see Butler wants to leave and I'm like, oh, they're horrible. But then obviously they're going to do a sign and trade with Butler. So that one doesn't hurt as bad. And JJ is gone and now they get Horford. They're stronger than they were last year.
I'm not so sure about that.
You're still concerned about the shooting.
Well, it's more than that. I mean, I think their best five best players are all 6'8" and above. And who exactly is going to guard Kemba Walker? I'm not saying that that's the end all be all, but like we've seen this story before. And while Horford was able to slow down Embiid, you know, obviously we had Kyrie, we had IT. I mean, there was a number of options to throw at them. If we can figure out how to defend them, which is going to be a difficult challenge as a Celtics team, trying to figure out the defense, as we were talking about earlier, but who the heck is going to play the point guard spot? And, you know, I understand what they're doing, but they've got more than $500 million invested in Embiid, Tobias Harris, Al Horford, and soon to be Ben Simmons, who's going to be extension eligible. So, you know, we're going to have $700 million thrown in that front court. Josh Richardson is an interesting player. I think he'll certainly make a huge impact to that team.
Helps the shooting, right?
But
I mean,
a little bit, but
not a ton.
Like, I don't think the team fits is the bottom line. I don't think they fit.
I think the money is rough with Al Horford. I mean, let's just get down to it right there. You know, we had talked about stretching out all along somebody like Al Horford in Boston, like maybe he would accept less money for longer term, right? And I think we even thought maybe even 5 years, but definitely under that 20 million mark. And then he's getting near 28 million a year over 4 years. I think the Boston Celtics got a little scared because in reading Twitter, and this has nothing to do with the Celtics organization, but in looking at Danger Cart, he was kind of saying, I'm not sure I'd bring back Al Horford under these circumstances, even to begin with. I mean, I would think it would be a beauty to be able to just swap out Kemba Walker for Kyrie Irving and have another go with a full off season for Gordon Hayward. And it would have been very exciting to see that. And obviously, again, like we talked about kicking off the show, thin on the front court now, that would have been amazing. And I think that would have been an absolute dream for all Celtics fans. Now we've lost it, but Philly's going to get saddled with this salary, and he's a great, great veteran, and that club can use the locker room presence and can, you know, they remove somebody like you just said who played great defense against Embiid. So that's one path path of resistance out of their way, which is great. But in year four, they could be feeling that a little bit, especially as they look to re-sign all of these guys, including Embiid. And that might have been the Boston Celtics' reluctance as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think money did come into play. I mean, I think it came into play initially when they negotiated. I think it came into play even today. I'm sure that Al's guys came back to them once the whole Kemba Walker thing had come to light and was no longer a stealth suitor. And I'm sure that they talked and said, look, do you want to move off of 109 or whatever it is and 112? And the Celtics said no. And so, you know, you're going to take a Kemba, you know, an Al Horford who could have made 30, but instead he's going to average no less than 25 million, 24 million maybe, depending upon if they meet their, you know, some of the incentives that are in that contract. And I just don't see it. I don't understand. I shouldn't say that. I see why this Philadelphia 76ers want him. I don't see why the Philadelphia 76ers, given their roster, where it's made up, where it makes a lot of sense. And I think it's a really expensive, security blanket for Joel Embiid. And I don't think it answers, by spending $109 million, I don't think it answers some of their biggest questions, which really were in the backcourt and in playmaking. What Jimmy Butler did for that team in terms of playmaking and making that team a winner in the postseason, it was something that Ben Simmons was never able to do. It hadn't been able to do as a Philadelphia 76er. It's now going to be in his hands now, and sure, Al Horford has a part of that, but he's not the primary distributor, not the primary ball handler. So I got questions. I realized I'm probably maybe people say I'm hating, fine, whatever. It's Philly. They deserve all the hate they get. But I just don't think I understand it. I think, you know, he would have made a bigger impact here and potentially here in Boston. I think they had a chance to be a finals team. If Kawhi goes west, I think they would have been really in the mix. But oh well.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. Depending on what happens with the Lakers, which we'll talk about as well, you're looking at an Eastern Conference, especially. I mean, who knows if Kevin Durant ever comes back to, you know, full health and dominance, but the East is getting stronger. There's no doubt. Although the Lakers may be getting dominant in the West. We'll talk about all of that in just a second. You can follow Celtic Stuff Live on Twitter at @CSL_TweetLive, as well as me at @CSL_Justin. John is at @CSL_Duke and the entire CLNS Media Network at CLNS Media. Facebook.com/CLNS fans. Download the CLNS Media app for iOS and Android. Simply search CLNS Media in your app marketplace and youtube.com/CLNS Media for high definition, full length locker room interviews, the Garden Report, the Roundtable, and yours truly, Celtic Stuff Live. So, John, you know, we've got to talk about the Lakers. We've got to talk about the Nets. There's a lot. And I love the fact that this was a 6 p.m. deadline and not a midnight deadline. It made it a lot more fun, I think, for a lot of people. And certainly the NBA, I think they're getting more pub on free agency by doing it this way. This whole evening has been able to captivate the audience that many of them, especially kids that would, you know, I don't care that school's out. Many of them are definitely in bed by midnight. I think they're just expanding that audience and that interest. So nice job on them for bumping this baby back to 6 p.m., even though everything broke, you know, 3-4 hours in many cases leading up to the actual, you know, beginning, I shouldn't say deadline, the beginning of free agency. So really good move there. I guess maybe before we move on, we wondered what would the Celtics do, you know, if they had to move on from Kyrie Irving and there was the Terry Rozier, would we re-sign him and da, da, da. And then obviously we handle that with Kemba Walker, and the sign and trade does still give the Celtics some flexibility here, which is much needed. So that's great. That part of my wild, crazy guess I got right. But I guess the bigger question is, where do we go on, or how do we move on, or where do we go from Al Horford now that this decision is made? Names that have been floated out are, in any kind of a trade, you're looking at Sabonis or Miles Turner. And then if you're looking in sort of using that mid-level exception kind of money, Looney is undoubtedly going back, I would say, to Golden State at this point. You know, they've already, you know, maybe yes, maybe no, but I'd feel pretty strong about it. But Enes Kanter or even Derek Favors might be some names that would interest the Celtics, but neither of those players playing more than, you know, 22 to 24 minutes per game for their clubs, obviously not regular starters. And the Celtics maybe have a little bit of a center by committee kind of approach. And obviously they're going to need to secure some depth. You know, we're going to see Grant Williams, who I think will be able to give him some decent minutes. And, you know, you're going to look at Robert Williams, like we kicked it off with, and maybe he'll give them some decent minutes, and maybe they'll get, you know, a Kanter or Favors. But, you know, honestly, what I'd love to see him do is make that trade for Miles Turner. You and I both love Sabonis, and believe me, I love him, but Miles Turner is the kind of guy that I would love to see grow older with this young Celtics core of Brown and Tatum and Marcus Smart.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I think that would be outstanding. I think he's still got a lot to learn. We saw that in the Indiana playoff series that, you know, Turner is a guy that certainly isn't a finished product, and he's a lot left to learn. I can't remember which game was it, if it was game 2, where he, you know, it's a couple boneheaded plays, and yeah, it happens. It's okay. Yeah, I mean, I think he's switchable. He's, you know, he can defend the perimeter. He's a great shot blocker. Can shoot the ball from three. I think that's a great fit. Sabonis,
it's a great fit for Brad too, but, right? Because one of the things that came out in Bull Pet's article was with Kemba, they're going to play a lot more up tempo, which, you know, with all of the complaints that I've made about the way that this offense ran with Kyrie, I'm excited about.
Well, right. Yeah, absolutely. I think that they are going to play fast, which is going to be really exciting for you and I to, and all the fans to kind of watch. I think it's great that they're going to push that. I think it's takes the best advantage of the players they have. But to find the right center is a challenge, right? And, you know, we talked a lot about with Vucevic and what does that mean? And, you know, is a more of a plotting, post guy. Well, Vucevic added the three, but he's still not fleet of foot. Turner can get up and down a little bit. I mean, he's not going to be a high wire act like DeAndre Jordan from 10 years ago, but he's going to get up and down, certainly. He's a guy I would look at. I think there's going to be a lot of options to look at. I'd like to look at Favors and see what happens. Apparently he's going to be let go from Utah, or they're looking to trade him, it sounds like. That would be another guy that would be around the same price range, but wouldn't probably cost a Jaylen Brown. So if they somehow are able to get a traded player exception out of this, somehow can get a sign and trade, he's a guy I would absolutely target, because Utah's not going to expect a lot for him, and maybe that works out. I'm just not sure if that will be in the cards, but he's a guy I would certainly look at as well.
How much would you dangle the Memphis pick to try to shore up the roster this year versus saying, you know what, we're going to waffle in that 4 or 5 seed maybe and wait for Brown and Tatum to develop? And really, you know, you've talked about it on Twitter all week. Brown's a guy that you would look to move just because of the wing depth that they have. And seems like they could bring back Mook if they did do something like that to get to the front court. So they'd still have depth at the wing if they did move Brown. I really want to see him. I mean, the team that I want to see grow is, you know, eventually the reins get turned over to Marcus Smart, and then you have Brown at the 2. And I prefer Tatum at the 3, and then they try to find a way to get a little bit bigger. And maybe it's Grant Williams and Robert Williams somehow. I don't know. But those young players don't tend to always stick around. You know, those ones drafted in the late 20s with the Celtics. I mean, even Terry Rozier is moving on, and that is kind of what happens on this club. But they covet these players that they've drafted in the top 6. And it's obvious because Danny's been very, very reluctant to include any of them in trades. We've heard many times, you know, they didn't go get Kawhi because they didn't want to give up Brown. I can't remember who they wouldn't include Marcus Smart for, but we've heard several times, nope, we're not trading Marcus Smart, not for that player. And then Tatum, even as we were trying to do something with Anthony Davis, right, he's untouchable. So those three players are definitely a core group for Danny anyway, and it would take a lot to pry him away.
Absolutely, it would take a lot, and it should. It should take a lot to pry them away. And I would probably put the Memphis pick in that same category because it very likely could be in the same sort of, sphere in terms of influence. It could be a top 3, a top 2, could be the number 1 pick in 2021. So, you know, you don't want to just throw that away for, you know, a flyer on a guy. Right now, there aren't a lot of options on the free agent market, but, you know, I think a name that we talked a lot about 2 years ago is DeMarcus Cousins, and all that would cost is the mid-level exception and probably some time. And I know, but he did a nice job in Golden State. And,
he did, you know, but he was around other big stars. Sure. Dude, I just think you just solved the character issues is what dismantled this team. You just solved it in bringing a high character, high work ethic, you know, guy in Kemba Walker, and then you're going to gamble like this. I mean, I suppose you could bring him in and cut him if it's not working out and make the commitment to, you know, having a roster not just a roster, but a locker room that's got great chemistry. I think it's very important to Brad and the rest of them. I remember when we first got back to the show after several years off, you know, we were talking, like you said, about Boogie Cousins, and, you know, I remember Mike Gorman, no thank you, no thank you. And I guess, yeah, maybe he is coming around a little bit. Maybe he's been humbled, you know, due to the injury and what it's done to his free agency prospects, you know, in terms of he could have been getting great paydays with all that talent, and instead he wasn't. And so maybe that's a guy that's, you know, come around. You know who did like him was Mark Spears, remember? And Mark's a good friend of the show, and he kind of felt like Cousins was getting a raw deal in a lot of cases in terms of how he was perceived around the league. If they took that gamble and it paid off, it'd be a huge win for Danny Ainge after losing out on Anthony Davis, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's a huge gamble, and I almost feel like they got to kind of protect this club and this clubhouse, I guess. I don't know if you call it a clubhouse in the NBA, but you got to protect this group and let them heal a little bit and let Kemba come in and establish that sort of dynamic with the younger players. And I also feel like if Cousins comes onto this roster, he's going to want to get his. Right? Cause he's going to go right into the starting role. He's not going to play second fiddle. He might to Kemba maybe, but you know, he's not playing second fiddle to Curry and Thompson and Draymond and Durant. You know, it's a totally different thing. You know, he may be looking for more touches. And also based on the way that this team is going, I think it's time to let a couple of these kids or the three that we just mentioned really take that chip on their shoulder and do something with it, because the pressure should be on them to some degree.
Oh, absolutely. It should be on them. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, this is a situation where, you know, we've, the training wheels are off, you know, and I think we saw from Jackie McMullen's article, all the questions, all the concerns about what's going to happen with this team and, you know, what happened this past year. And it's not all on Kyrie's shoulders. And I believe that. I think there is a lot of blame to go around, though clearly Kyrie has a lot of that to shoulder. But the kids have, you know, this is, the eyes are going to be on them. It's not even going to be on Kemba, I think. I think it's really going to be on Gordon Hayward, not on Jason Tatum. I mean, all of the comments I've been, you know, hearing both post-draft and pre-free agency, it's all on Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum has to make the leap. Jason Tatum has to do this. Jason Tatum has to add this to his game. The eyes are squarely on him right now. There's no doubt about it. He has to somehow change his game. He has to become, in part, the guy that we all expect him to be, which is a pretty tough burden. It's a pretty tough bar to get on top of. But is he capable of? I don't know. But what we're going to find out, and I think I agree with you. I think adding a Cousins probably isn't the right move at this point in time. But I do think that regardless of that, you're going to have most of the focus of this team is going to be on those wings and how well they're able to share the ball, participate, you know, become who we think they can be, show the growth that Jaylen Brown brought. And particularly if they aren't able to find a center, aren't able to make that trade, it's all going to be on those guys to make the team's success be their success.
Honestly, that whole Steven Adams thing might be worth revisiting, because with the amount of offense that they should be able to have there, they could really use somebody who's defensive prowess, somebody who's a rebounder, at least somebody who can maybe not necessarily block shots, but can impact shots at the rim. So, hey, before we dive down into that, baseball season is in full swing, and placing a wager on baseball has never been more exciting than with betonline.ag. This week, I'm watching Red Sox versus Blue Jays, and guess what? Because you're a loyal listener of Celtic Stuff Live and CLNS Media, we're giving you an extra 50% added onto your sports betting bankroll when you go to clnsmedia.com/CSL and use the promo code CLNS50. The best part is the bonus will be added onto your balance within seconds. Again, support our podcast by going to clnsmedia.com/CSL and use code CLNS50. A minimum deposit of $25 is required to qualify for the bonus, and please see betonline.ag's general rules for additional terms and conditions regarding bonuses. So, yeah, John, what was I just talking about? I lost my train of thought before the break. Ah, that's classic. I was like, let's set the table. You weren't even listening.
Well, we were talking about trying to go in deep and basically like how they solve this, like who is the guy who,
oh, Steven Adams. They,
right. You were going with Steven Adams as your guy.
They need a defensive guy. I think the offense will be there, and they need to leave room in the offense for Hayward to get going and for Tatum. You know, the question is Hayward coming off the bench again, or is Brown going to reprise his role coming off the bench, or does he get moved in trade because of that, or does Marcus Smart become the sixth man of the year, which actually makes a lot of sense with Terry's departure and a bunch of young guards behind Kemba. I would think it's actually Smart moves into that sixth man role. Plus he's locked up for years and it's a role that he's totally comfortable with and started last year with. And it gives him a chance to continue to grow as the primary ball handler when Walker's not out there. But when he's coming in off the bench, he's probably going to sub in for Brown, and then he can be a defensive guard that plays a little bit differently than Brown, but again, and try to mask maybe a little bit of that defensive liability that Walker has, you know, just due to height and size. So I think that's probably where they're going to end up landing. And then Tatum's playing the four probably more than Hayward is. But in that switchable defense, that's fine. But they need somebody who can alter shots or impact shots at the rim inside. And they need a rebounder. The rebounding issues on this team, brutal, and they're not going to be any better next year unless they address it.
No, rebounding is a huge issue, and that's one thing about next year's team. We don't know who that center will be, but the presumption is no matter who you get, they should be likely a step up from Al Horford. Al was not a strong rebounder. We know that. At times he could be. At times he was outstanding on the glass, but on the average, he was not probably among the top top 10 of rebounders in his class. So that's okay. And this
not
is
a lot of opportunities too, just real quick on the offensive end, just already because of Brad's style, but secondarily the fact that Al was playing away from the basket, just, and then the size makeup of the team, you know, you're not, those extra possessions on offense weren't there. So I'll just add that with all of that offense, and maybe Brad can space it out differently, where maybe they can grab a few of those O boards with whoever this player is, because they never seem to get extra offensive possessions. And that would really turn the tide, I think, for this club. And they could just, I mean, honestly, maybe they just need a rebounding specialist.
Well, even apart from that, I think you have to talk about how you're going to play. I mean, Brad likes to have centers who are on the perimeter, who are playmaking, who are, you know, high post and elbows and working from there. So those guys are in short supply, and the number of guys who are out there who can make that are very limited. A lot of the guys who have out there are more the rim running, you know, guys near the glass. Now that takes away your spacing. That takes away your opportunities for Kemba to work and room for your wings to work. But that may be where they are. So they may be forced to make that decision. I don't think that's probably their priority, my guess. But that may be where they have to be, just on the basis of who's left on the market.
All right, so let's move on from the Celtics, just because we got about 10 minutes left here. And I do want to talk a little bit about the rest of the league, and specifically Kawhi is taking his time. We were told Horford would take his time, and then about an hour later he signs with the 76ers. So now we're going to talk a little bit about Kawhi, because he hasn't even taken meetings on Sunday. That's the irony there. And all signs are pointing to him not returning to Toronto, and I'd still say Toronto made the right move there. They weren't going to get over the hump, and so going and acquiring him and getting a championship, the right move. Nobody there. They may regret losing Kawhi and not having DeRozan in the years to come, but nobody should regret the gamble on winning a championship, because they got it. So this was it. This was the play. They won the gamble in terms of the season, and they probably going to lose the gamble in terms of the player. So a 50-50 split there doesn't make them great long term. Does something incredible for them in the short term. Kawhi looks to be going to one of the LA teams. The Lakers earlier this week cleared enough cap space to add another max contract. A lot of signs pointing to him going to the Lakers. That would be insane. That would be absolutely insane. And as some of these higher profile top tier free agents are getting signed, that's less and less for the Clippers. It's hard to see Kawhi going to the Clippers without another major acquisition. And I just feel like everything's steering towards the Lakers. That's probably the more difficult pill for me to swallow, not the Nets, you know, because we'll end the show on Kyrie going to the Nets and Durant joining him there and what that might actually look like long term. The one that really kills is the Lakers, because they were a laughing stock. And we talked about, oh, they'll never be able to get, you know, Anthony Davis. The Celtics have the better package, dot, 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 dot. And now they got him, right? And, you know, the Rich Paul and everything else has been well documented on prior episodes. But for them to also land Kawhi, if that happens, I mean, that team is better, in my opinion, than the Golden State teams with Durant healthy and Clay healthy. You don't think it's better?
No.
LeBron James, well, Anthony all, Davis, okay. and Kawhi yeah. Leonard, you don't okay. think is okay.
Okay. All right. Okay. First of all, that's three guys. It takes five. So we'll double team two of the guys, and it'll be one-on-one on the third guy, I guess, right? They got to build a roster, and they've signed this many players.
But that's – they got a lot of defense, too. Like, typically they, when you talk about that, you don't players. Have the defense.
I know, but you need players. Like, we saw this in Miami. It took them a while, not only for them to fit together, but for them to build a team around them. First year, they weren't very good. Year two, they got much better. I think that's what's going to happen with the Lakers. I mean, they're basically – they've sat out this early period of now free agency, basically because they don't have any money. They all have to spend, you know, veteran minimums. But they also, presumably they're waiting on Kawhi too. So, it's going to be a game of chicken between the Lakers and the Clippers, and he still could go to the Clippers and they'd be a great team. And I think they'd be competitive with the Lakers, to be quite honest. Look, LeBron has played the third most minutes by the end of next year of anybody who's ever played in the NBA. Third most, you know, and while he's had this tremendously healthy career, those minutes are going to catch up with him at some point. And it did a little bit this year, and yes, he got that rest, but the dude is 34, 35 years old. I mean, this is not going to go on forever. At some point, you have to slow down, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. No doubt that would be a tremendously talented, and just look at what Kawhi did. But Kawhi didn't do that alone in Toronto, you know. Anthony Davis sits out games. We don't know about the health of Kawhi Leonard. I mean, there are questions. They're not infallible. Whereas you take the Warriors.
Oh yeah, it's one injury, just like we saw with Golden State. They're one injury away from being decimated. You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, that's a huge gamble. Just like, and I think, and we'll just transition to the Nets right now. The signing of Durant, I think, is a gamble. Yeah, crazy good player, but will he ever be the same? It's a big question mark. And that team, you know, nice job on them, right? I mean, at least they went and made a splash, and especially where they were really not that long ago, the laughing stock of the league for the trade with the Celtics. Then they wind up getting Kyrie Irving to come there. And, I mean, for me, no big deal. See you later. And happy to have Kemba. Bummed that we lost out on Horford. And had they played better this year, probably both of those players would be coming back. But I don't know that they would have done better. And so, you know, I'm interested to see what happens with New Jersey and the other players on the team, not named Durant, who won't play, how they deal with Kyrie during a season where Kyrie, because this is what I think is going to happen, and they may have to do a lot of roster turnover at the end. They were an upstart team this year, not unlike what the Celtics were when Kyrie was out with injuries heading into the postseason, and then Kyrie comes back, and, you know, who knows what was going on there, but if he's just waiting for Kevin Durant to come and be healthy, and it's the following season, and he's trying to make the best of this year, I think that's a really odd dynamic for a guy who's got documented character issues at this point. And I wonder what the chemistry is going to be like with anybody who's still around when Durant gets healthy.
Yeah, well, and speaking of another name, Mike Pina just kind of put this on Twitter, is saying, you know, what about Jared Allen? Jared Allen he's exactly what Boston would need. And I don't know that you can get that in that sign and trade, but it's something to consider, in terms of if they can make a sign and trade happen, because they're bringing
the Memphis
Gordon
pick for him. I mean, no. He's a talented young
stop
player.
Moving this Memphis. You gotta stop moving this Memphis.
You don't
want to
move the Memphis pick, but
yeah, I mean, you don't move
you
the
just
Memphis pick for seventh, eighth players. Like,
my precious.
This is so. That's like saying I'm going to trade future Jason Tatum or future Jalen Brown for it. I mean, you can't.
But Jared Allen is good.
He's good, but he's not worth that yet. You know, I mean, and you've already.
Would you trade Jalen Brown for Jared Allen?
No, not right now. Not right now, but he's good. He's a very good player. Could he be great? I don't know. He's got athleticism.
But what do you give up then to make that in the sign and trade deal? I just don't know how you make that deal sweet enough. I mean, they're kind of doing Boston a favor anyway, not themselves.
I think you could give up your own pick. I think there are assets you could throw into that to make it more worthwhile. It's a question. They have a problem effectively on their end. I mean, yes, they have an asset, but they're not going to be able to get the most out of him because they got DeAndre Jordan, for God's sakes. Why that's a linchpin in all this, I don't know. And now we find out Kyrie and Durant took less money. Stick of bringing DeAndre Jordan. Okay. I think it's great. Brooklyn did everything they had to do. They did everything they needed to do to make this happen. But would I be surprised if in 18 months we look back and say, geez, that blew up pretty fast. No. And I'm not
talking
about
Kyrie.
Well,
I mean, look at what happened the last time, you know, like they went and got Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Now, right. Age is a little bit different in this scenario. Like, first off, Kyrie is young, right? And that's a big differentiator in that deal. Sure. But Kevin Durant, you know, is not as young as Kyrie and is going to be coming off one of these injuries. And how old's Jordan? I was just looking that up, but I feel like he's on the back end of his career too.
Look, yeah, he is.
Like, I think he's like 32, right? I'm going to see.
Oh, at least.
I'll tell you right now, 30. Okay. So he's about the same age as Durant. He's way younger than I thought.
He plays like he's 38.
But
I think that's
by the time Durant is healthy, he plays like he's 38. By the time Durant is healthy, that, you know, he'll be 31. Let me check on what his birthday is, because he could be even turning 32 that year.
End of this month, he turns 31.
Yeah, there you go. So he'll be 32 and a half by the time he's playing with Durant. Yep.
Yep. And it's just DeAndre does not have a game that is going to translate well to being older. You know, I mean, he's better once he got out of Dallas, but I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I know Caris LeVert had a great year. I know that, you know, a lot of things, you know, Joe Harris but I think this year is going to be an eye opener for Brooklyn, and I hope Boston beats the hell out of them. I really do. I want to beat them.
I think
them so
they
bad.
Will. That's, you know, as much as you're throwing the hate Phillies way, and I definitely want to beat Philly and all of that, I don't have the same level of, you know, it's the Kyrie factor.
Oh no. It's turning you.
No. I live in Pennsylvania. I'm not becoming a 76ers fan. I just have never harbored like the competitive piece. Yes. Right. Like that's a team I actually, cause I was looking forward to the young pieces on the 76ers and the young pieces on the Celtics kind of battling for years to come and hopefully, you know, wanting the Celtics to come out on top every time. But I just thought that could be a really cool thing to watch. And I thought I'd really enjoy that from entertainment value standpoint. Right. But, but the Nets, like, and especially it must be the Kyrie thing, cause you know how down I am on Kyrie, but I definitely don't want to see it that way. All right. So what do you think? Which one is more likely to get, well, Horford's going to get love in Boston, right? And Kyrie's not.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be ugly. Absolutely.
Or do you think the team will be good to Kyrie? Like, will he get his video and all that?
No video.
You think you think that the team is pissed?
Listen,
internally,
okay, listen,
and
we got to talk about this video thing, and I know it's going to come up. There is no video chat for video prize for someone who played all of what 9 playoff games for the Celtics and put in some of the worst 4 performances consecutively of any Celtic in history. I mean, you compare that to what Isaiah did. And it's night and day difference. You know, a lot of people are saying, we have video tributes for anyone now, don't we? Like, come on. I'm all for being,
you agree, stop
that,
him.
But in the, well, no, not in that, but just like,
just for the right players, the ones
there
who
is a
themselves.
Reason.
Yes.
There is a reason why we're in the situation we're in. And I'm not going to say it's all Kyrie or it's all
no,
the media.
No, but Horford deserves the video and Kyrie does not.
Yeah.
And this is statement coming from you. This is a statement because you're not, you've been all on bring Kyrie back. And sure. So the fact that you're now, what changed you? Was it the Jackie Mack article? Like, why are you now like, I mean, I get it. I get it from a very objective standpoint and not emotionally being perturbed at Kyrie that he just didn't put enough time on the court and they didn't go far enough in the postseason with him and .. for him to get the video because he was barely here for a sandwich, right? Yeah. And a cup of coffee, maybe a donut. I get that. But at the same time, Isaiah really wasn't here that long either. But what he did is had just the best season of his career, you know, an emotional leader, an igniter, you know, had us far exceeding anything that we could have expected. And instead Kyrie is, you know, subpar. But is that it? You're just that just objective about we can't give everybody a video and he doesn't deserve one? Or have you soured on Kyrie? And the more you read the Jackie Mack thing, you're like, you know, cause you said just now, there's a reason why we're where we're at right now.
Sure. Sure, he has blame. He has a lot of blame for the way things fell apart this season. You know, I was waiting for, I was willing to take him at his word. Let's put it that way. And I feel like he was not honest with his word.
No, he had this all lined up long before it happened.
Whether he did or didn't, I know that I've heard that throughout. I mean, oh, he's gone. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He's saying otherwise. Well, now he's done otherwise, other than what he said. And that's the sort of thing that say, okay, yeah, well,
you heard I love you and now you feel lied to and that's that.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess yeah. It's that simple. I mean, he's a great player. He has a lot of talent. But everything that comes out of his mouth is usually a mess. And that's not the way to lead a team. And he's going to be the leader of the Brooklyn Nets for a 12-month period until, Kevin Durant is able to play. And even when he plays, he's not going to be back to being Kevin Durant. It's going to be a lot of this season for Gordon Hayward. And, you know, good luck to you, Brooklyn.
Man, I'm going to love it if Gordon Hayward goes off. And you know what? That'll be the outtake. The little bright spot in our crap sandwich with Horford not quite coming through on our wild and crazy hopes that materialized in the last second. So this broadcast will be available on demand on the CLNS Media mobile app. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @CSL_Justin, @CSL_Duke. A heartfelt thank you to everybody for tuning in. And remember that you can help support the show by subscribing to Celtic Stuff Live on iTunes and Stitcher. We'd love it if you gave us a rating and a review because your feedback is important to the show. And for staff writer Samuel Elias, executive producer Larry H. Russell, the founder of CLNS Media, Nick Gelso, and my co-host John Duke, I'm Justin Poulin. Thank you for listening to this week's special edition, the free agency edition of Celtic Stuff Live.
Celtic Stuff Live.
All right, so Hayward, if he comes back and lights it up, mm-hmm. Do you think there's any regret on Kyrie Irving's side as that season goes on without Kevin Durant, or do you think it just he's oblivious to that?
Well, to keep going with your other analogy, he's already with his new girl, right? So but you're right, like come November, January, February, when they get to the All-Star game and Gordon's there with Tatum and Kemba and and it's just Kyrie there from the Nets. Well, maybe there's some sour grapes. Maybe there's some second thoughts. I don't know. I don't care. I think the type of leader that we saw Kyrie was is something that you probably couldn't build around anyway. You know, I think that that's what you saw in the end is when it got tough. That's the type of, you see who people really are. And we saw who Kyrie Irving, the leader, is. And that's not someone you want leading your team in that type of.
What do you think Hayward thinks of all this? Do you think, I mean, cause you know, he came to Boston to go win a championship and he was a great player on a pretty good team that's now becoming a great team in Utah, right? So his perspective on this has to be, I suffered through, you know, some pretty tough times. Do you think he looks at this like a fresh start? Do you think he's like, oh no, now we're taking a little bit of a step back? I mean, you have to think about it. If Marcus Smart could play center, that's one hell of, and he has. I'm just not sure he could day in and day out. But, you know, that starting five of players is not, you know, they just have a hole positionally. But Kemba, Smart, Brown, Tatum, Hayward, there's a lot of talent still very much in those top five players on the roster right now. It's just that they're imbalanced with that load of wings. And I don't know, maybe it's a three-guard lineup with Marcus Smart at center. I mean, I don't, you know, I have no idea what they're going to do next year. But what do you think Gordon thinks about all that?
Well, there's one interesting piece is that when he was first a restricted free agent, when Utah did not give him the full extent that they could. Hayward, when Hayward was in that spot, you know where he looked first? He looked two places. He looked Cleveland and he looked at Charlotte. And who are the point guards in those spots? Kemba Walker and Kyrie Irving.
Interesting.
So, you know,
I didn't know he looked at Charlotte, so that's a really good.
Yeah.
So you think he'll be happy to play with Kemba?
I think so. What will be interesting.
And maybe he regrets wanting to play with Kyrie too.
Well, it was never really his choice, right? I mean, remember, cause that, the signing happened before.
No, it was after. That's what I was going to say. The Horford deal was part of I mean, he knew Isaiah Thomas was going to be there, but I think having Horford here was a big draw for him in terms of where the team was headed. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they played great in the playoffs. You know, it seemed like the hip was going to be fine. So, you know, that's the unfortunate thing, but I think that for Hayward, it's going to be, I think he's going to be able to play freely next year. You know, I think we need to figure out how those three guys fit together. Because that was one of the first things you heard during training camp is, you know, I remember Jalen saying, we got to figure out what we're doing because sometimes I'm doing this job and other times in that set, I'm doing a different job. And so it's dependent on who's on the floor. So they need to figure that out, but I feel like we're going to be in a pretty good spot. The question is, like you said, it's that forward position. It's that center position. Like that is such a key linchpin. Everything else is really covered. The passing, the scoring, the defense to some degree, but who's going to anchor this thing, you know, and you can sign for a $9 million player to do that, but, is that really enough? Is that going to be good enough when you've had Al Horford? Probably not, but you don't really have much of a choice. And who knows? Maybe Robert Williams jumps up as we were talking about to start the show, but chances are it's going to be a mishmash until something shakes out. And the other thing is maybe the Celtics don't feel comfortable moving Jaylen Brown until they've seen what Gordon Hayward can do. That's
a really good point.
Or if they do trade him, it's a sign that he is playing well and he's back.
Great point. All right. To be continued, we're going to learn a lot more over the next couple of days. And if you're still listening, you're welcome.